wearing them out. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
Who is the NFC North quarterback with the most to prove? It's a good list. It's a good group of guys. They all have reasons why they could be the guy with the most to prove. Obviously, you got Jordan Love, you got J.J. McCarthy, you got Caleb Williams, and you got Jared Goff. And again, an argument could be made for each of those players. So this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, we're going to talk about it. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, Let's Talk About It is sponsored by BetterHelp. Mental health is health. Visit BetterHelp.com/timeout for 10% off your first month of therapy. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. Gabe, I'm going to start with you. Who do you believe, or at least you're willing to make a case for, is the quarterback in the NFC North with the most to prove in 2025?
Well, you can make a case for any one of them. To me, it's pretty simple. The guy who hasn't played a down in the NFL yet has the most to prove. This was a team that won a lot of games last year. They won, what, 13 games last year? That's what they got up to? That's a lot of games. And they decided, nope, we're moving off of Sam Darnold. We're going to J.J. McCarthy. This is a talented roster, but we know how important quarterback is. And J.J. McCarthy's going to have his ups and downs. And the expectation for the Minnesota Vikings is be a playoff team. For a guy who now hasn't played football for over a year because of the injury he suffered last year, and it's not like he was able to practice at all last year to get the timing down with all these guys. Like, this is a talented roster, a team with high expectations. J.J. McCarthy, to me, easily, because of his lack of experience and not playing at all, coming off of a major injury, he's got the most to prove because he has nothing out there as a baseline.
But you could also say that expectations for him are lower than they are for some of the other guys in the division who have already been on the field and shown a baseline, to your point, of what they can do.
I mean, are they? The Vikings, if you are a member of that Vikings team, and you've got a taste of, man, last season just got away from us. We got to be better. And now you're going, wait, we have to have lower expectations because we didn't want to sign the guy who got us to 13 wins last year? No, that's pretty high expectations. I'm guessing Justin Jefferson is going to hold J.J. McCarthy to a pretty high level. And if J.J. McCarthy doesn't live up to that, I'm guessing Justin Jefferson's body language is going to tell us how upset he is if he's not getting the football week in and week out.
Chew, who do you want to make a case for here?
Caleb Williams. He wasn't very good last year. People are already questioning, we took the wrong guy. Should have took Daniels out of Washington. And I agree with you. The only thing I don't agree with you, Gabe, is McCarthy kind of gets a year like Caleb did. Now, if Caleb follows up this year like last year, he's Bryce Young. He's like, screwed up, took the wrong guy. You know, McCarthy gets that year to see how he plays.
The organization thinks that. Does Justin Jefferson? Does Jordan Addison?
No, I'm just
Harrison Smith.
But if he underperforms,
they're not going to dump him.
Built-in excuse of what you said: first year in the league, learning the ropes, learning curve, all of those sort of things. That gives him like a little bit more breathing room, doesn't it?
I mean, again, things tighten up in the NFL. And when you have a window the way the Vikings, the rest of that roster is ready to compete. And if you'd purposefully hold them back by starting a rookie who's clearly not ready, that means you made the wrong decision. That means you made the wrong decision not to keep Sam Darnold around.
I think Chewy makes a good point about Williams in that he underperformed. Now, you can certainly point to players around him last year as to a reason why he underperformed. But at the end of the day, heavy the head that wears the crown, right? He has got to prove that he is worthy of where he was selected. He's supposed to be this franchise-saving quarterback. That is a lot to prove. Joshy, who do you think is the quarterback in the NFC North with the most to prove in 2025?
I think I can make a quite compelling case for Jared Goff. Jared Goff, throughout his career, until Ben Johnson came to town and saved his NFL career, was a guy that was looking like he might be working his way out of the NFL. I think the change in the offensive coordinator and him to prove that not only is he worth the $53 million he got paid, but can he do it without one of the best play callers in the NFL that constructed an offense that was humming as good as any of them out there? It'll be interesting to see what life is like for Jared Goff. Is he going to be the reason that deep roster, that roster filled with all pros and young players that are ascending talent, is he going to be good enough to keep up that roster and their expectations?
Love, in regards to Love, he's already shown he can be very, very good. But last year he was just good. If he follows it up with just another good, then he's got a lot of pressure on him because he start calling him flash in the pan.
Well, you're making my case for me, too. That's exactly what I was going to say about Jordan Love, because I think Jordan Love is the quarterback in the NFC North that has the most to prove. He has been good. He has been promising. We need to see elite. And sometimes you can argue that that is the step, that is the level that is the toughest to take, is to get from that promising good to the elite slash great. But of course, he didn't do himself any favors by showing us that he can do it. Right? He set the expectation. Mm-hmm. And fair or unfair, you play in Green Bay, Wisconsin, where championships are the standard. And so far, Jordan Love, at the head of the ship, has not been able to lead them to championships. This is the year they have to take that step. They have got to be in the NFC Championship. And for that reason, that bullseye, that expectation, he has the most to prove. Because we have watched the Green Bay Packers elevate some of these other positions, specifically offensively. We all think pretty highly of the tight end spot, don't we? We like what they're doing at wide receiver, taking Matthew Golden for the first time in 20 years, etc. Like, they are putting pieces around Jordan Love. This is the year he has to show that he is the guy who can get them to the NFC Championship game and beyond.
How would you rank him? Because I would go...
Are you talking about with the most to prove or
yes,
just best
most
to worst?
I would go, because I'd go Caleb, and then I would go Love, and then I would go McCarthy, and then Goff, 4.
I'd probably go JJ. I feel like Caleb's almost going to get a pass again this year because of like how disastrous that team, like that was a dumpster fire. Like, you fired your offensive coordinator to try to save your own job, and then you had to fire the head coach.
But it's not like he didn't have talent there. He had talent.
Well, yeah, but
he had to redo the whole entire offensive line, right? Didn't they go out and get, like, 3 free agents this year?
So I'd probably go JJ, Caleb, Goff, Love.
Love last?
Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
You think he has the least to prove? Why? Because he's already done it for an 8-game stretch? He hasn't been able to recapture it.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, but Goff is what he is. He's at that point in his career. We know what he is.
Because, I mean, he was spectacular last season.
Yeah.
The last two seasons in Detroit, like, he has been, the numbers, everything with that, he has been spectacular. And he has to prove he can do it without Ben Johnson.
Well, that's what Josh's point was saying, how do you know that he can do it on his own?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know he can do it with another offensive coordinator?
Or is he just,
and that it wasn't just Ben Johnson pulling the strings marionette style?
Or is he just going to fall back to what he was toward the end of his time in Los Angeles? Which is fine, starting level, starting caliber.
Bottom end. They traded him and won the Super Bowl.
Love might just be good.
Yeah, and you know what that would mean? He's a letdown. He underwhelms. He underachieved because we have seen the stretch of brilliance slash greatness. So if he never recaptures that, if we never see it again, I mean, an unbelievable disappointment in Wisconsin sports. I think I would rank them Love, then Williams, then JJ McCarthy, and then Jared Goff. I'm with this sentiment that Jared Goff is what he is. And again, I still think he has a lot to prove. But if we're talking about the scale of who has the most to prove, Jordan, man, you got to find it. It's in there. How disappointing will it be to know that he can do it, has done it, and doesn't do it again?
I'm just a year away. I'm a year away.
You think Jordan will hit that level in 2026?
No, if he's just good this year, then you got a lot of pressure on you next year. A lot.
What about the contract? You always talk about the contract.
Yeah.
And we always talk about how, yes, the market dictates what these guys get paid. It's just where you are on the conveyor belt. Oh, it's your turn. Oh, it's your turn. So that's what you get the money for. But that contract hanging around his neck elevates the pressure as well.
Yes.
You got to prove that you are worthy of that $55 million deal.
Yeah. But Jordan, does he have least offensively less talent than Chicago?
Yes.
Or no?
Yes. On paper.
On paper?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to give him a little bit of credit there. Because if he had Minnesota's, I would think.
Oh, I think the Packers
may be a little bit.
The Packers' weapons on paper, just because we don't know what Matthew Golden is, I think on paper, the Packers have the worst weaponry in the NFC North.
adding running back?
Yeah, that's part of it.
Okay. I'd have to chew on that a little bit. That was good. No, it was. And I thought of it just like that.
You've done this.
I know I have.
What? I mean, he's done this to himself where he thinks he's being clever, saying chew on this.
Yep.
What, 5 or 6 times?
Every time, it's like the first time.
I'd say for a Monday, I'd probably get an A right now.
You've got a lot of show left.
Yeah, we got...
You can tank this sucker in minutes flat.
Because the second I say, yeah, you've been really good so far, guess what happens?
She checks out.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, you know?
You guys suck.
Ryan from Milwaukee weighing in on the Carbless Talking text line. He says, Caleb was the number one pick and was outshined all year by Jaden Daniels. He has the most to prove of the quarterbacks in the NFC North. Gabe?
If they reversed, if they took Jaden last year, number one overall, I'm thinking we're still talking about Caleb Williams. Like, Caleb Williams is a really talented guy, and if he would have landed in that spot and got the coaching that Jaden got, I think that Jaden's year last year in Chicago would have gone roughly the same as Caleb's. Like, yeah, that's how much of a disaster that coaching staff was and that front office is.
What is Caleb? What is he? Are you a pocket passer? Are you move around and throw? He certainly...
Guess what you need to do with a player like that, Chu? Coach him!
Yeah.
Don't make him watch film by himself!
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Although, weren't there a bunch of people that came out and sort of debunked that and said...
Well, yeah! Wouldn't you if it made your organization look
like
that?
I'm not talking about Bears people. I'm talking about other quarterbacks who have been around, done that, and been like, yeah, I didn't have somebody sitting next to me and going, and here's the go route. So when it's a go, you watch the film. You're supposed to be able to. Now, I always say you should have resources. If you don't know what's going on or you need some assistance, you should be able to go, help. Hey, coach, I'm watching this film. I'm not really sure what I'm looking at. Can you walk me through some of these plays here? Like, you should have that as an option. Maybe Caleb didn't have that.
Isn't, like, don't you remember the stories of Johnny Manziel or other athletes being given blank DVDs of film to test?
To see if they're watching?
Right, to see if they actually watched it. Yeah. Like, you would send them home with tape because their homework was to go home and watch the tape.
Well, they can track that stuff now.
Now they do. iPads, yeah.
Who was it a couple years ago that was like, oh,
never once used their iPad?
Never once used their iPad, and the team knew.
Well, they had to put it in Murray's contract.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dude, you have to watch film, okay? Or you're not going to get paid.
Stop playing Modern Warfare.
I don't know how
Warfare.
You can do that.
I would just think for a rookie, you're going to want somebody to assist you as you go. Like, eventually, you got to a point where you could, again, we
you
do all 22.
Yeah.
You could watch on your, you know what you're looking at in the NFL.
Yes.
Could you do that your first year?
Oh, God, no. No. No, not at all. Especially not from a quarterback standpoint. You know?
So you need somebody there to hold
your
hand.
You kind of want them to tell you where to throw it.
It's just so interesting to me that, like, some of these players can get to this level and not recognize the, not mental, but, like, educational aspect of the position, right?
Yeah.
It's all well and good to be a physical specimen, a physical freak, and an athletic freak. But especially the quarterback position, and I know Chewy, I don't want to make it seem like the other ones aren't as cerebral, but in the book, in the film, knowing tendencies, all that stuff, like that's what separates the good from the great, right?
Yes. You want to be on the field and knowing what to expect, you know?
So nothing surprises you. Right. So,
well,
like
there's going to be things that surprise you, but I mean, for me, it was always okay. A wide 9 on me is the guy's outside of my outside shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that scares you the most is if he dips back inside you.
Because you're going to be setting up to try.
You're going
to
be setting up, you know,
to get him, try to beat him to the edge, and then he just whoop.
And then you're there for everyone to see, like, ooh, that's not good. No, really. It's like the lookout block, left tackle. That is the funniest. Look out!
Whoops.
And then I turn because I'm on the right side. First thing you do is look for the ball because you know it's coming out.
It's coming out hot?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Oh, gosh, I love it when Chewy breaks down film for us or breaks down
We
plays.
Had it in Pittsburgh one time, preseason game, and Brett was in. My backup was out, so we had to play Mike Bartram. And he's going against Greg Lloyd, Remember
Greg Lloyd, fantastic player.
Greg Lloyd was a stud. And he did that exact same thing. He was a wide nine up Bartram, came underneath him, and I thought Brett died.
I remember that hit.
In a preseason game.
Was that at Camp Randall?
It was in Pittsburgh.
Oh, it was in Pittsburgh. Turf. Yes. Yes. Yep. Okay, I remember.
Body died. And so did Bartram. He couldn't play the rest of the game because he thought he killed Brett.
And what was your responsibility on that play?
To watch.
I assume you were on the other side.
I was on the other side.
Okay, good.
Never heard anything like that before.
What, the crunch?
What was the crunch followed by Greg Lloyd landing on him? And yeah, wow.
We're going to put it on the Jen Gabe and Chewy Twitter poll. The Infinity X.
He's trying to find it.
Oh, I found it.
Is that?
Oh, God.
Yes.
Send it to Josh and you can throw it up on the stream.
Brett threw it up into double coverage.
But
trying to hit Robert
in
double coverage.
I laughed because it was kind of funny.
Oh, Brett is down, man.
I mean, you got
what year was this?
95.
Okay, I bet there are people back at home or at work this morning Google searching this play.
Preseason.
Yeah, because you guys famously played the Steelers the last game of the regular season
indeed.
And won the division that year. Oh, man. Number 48.
I got to watch it.
Oh.
I'll still laugh.
Gabe's going to show it to you.
Both of Brett's feet leave the ground.
Yes.
Oh, now I need to see this.
I think Bartram might have cried. I swear to
God. Well, yeah, because it's a preseason game. He probably knows I'm not making the team.
Yeah. And he made the team.
I just killed Brett.
I know.
I can't be on this roster.
We have enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help us with our home projects. As you might know, we are not the most handy people, but it helps to know folks who are. So you should consider Professional Construction Inc. for your next remodeling project, home addition, or if you're thinking about building a new home, the PCI team is here for you. Mike and Michelle believe in building relationships and doing exceptional work on your projects. They've been in business for over 20 years. Learn more about PCI and see their work at ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. That's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. We'll put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Which of the NFC North quarterbacks has the most to prove in 2025? Let us know.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The source.
What's a click below dumb?
You. No.
Whoa.
That's fine.
Whoa.
No, that's what I'm
good
getting.
Good
at.
Pop. Good pop.
That's,
whoa.
I know.
Unnecessary.
I'm not dumb. I'm one click below dumb. We need to find out what that word is.
Don't you want to be one click above dumb?
Oh, that's right. I'm one click above.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors Twitter poll this morning. Who is the NFC North quarterback with the most to prove? As it turns out, we each could make a case for all of these guys. They're sort of on different areas of the spectrum from a career standpoint. Goff has played for all these years. Does he have the most to prove now that Ben Johnson is gone? Is it Caleb Williams, who was the number one overall pick and is expected to elevate the Bears to relevancy? Is it J.J. McCarthy, the rookie quarterback, the first-year quarterback, who everybody is hoping will be good if you're a Vikings fan, but we're not really sure what you got in him because he didn't really throw the ball all that much at Michigan. And then you got Jordan Love, who we have seen flashes of brilliance from, but have not seen him be able to duplicate that in a town and in a franchise where championship is the standard. Let us know. Go ahead and weigh in on that. Want to get to our Yonsense of the day. Joshy, you got
enough with this Yonsense.
Perfect.
It would be front office malpractice, whether or not Giannis blesses this or not, to not go out and aggressively pursue a trade.
Mobley for Giannis, straight up. What do you think? Call it in right now.
Done.
You're done if you're Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I think it's a great trade.
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
It's the season of Yonsense.
All right, so maybe not direct Yonsense this weekend, but a big trade in the NBA. The Memphis Grizzlies trading Desmond Bane to the Orlando Magic for a bit of a haul, Gabe Neitzel.
Two players, four firsts, and a pick swap.
And the not all that unexpected reaction from Milwaukee Bucks fans was what, Gabe?
If Desmond Bane goes for that, what the hell are you giving up for Giannis?
He'd have to play all by himself.
Five on one.
Giannis driving at the basket, passes to Giannis underneath the bucket. Yeah.
Oh, alley-oop! Giannis to Giannis!
Yeah. So this was an understandable and a frequent reaction, which was, look, Desmond Bane is a guy who, you know, we were talking earlier about could the younger generation pick out Phil Mickelson from a crowd? I think there's a lot of people who consider themselves NBA fans that wouldn't even know Desmond Bane.
Yeah, and he's a good player, but he's... Hey, we kind of already knew this, though, right? Mikal Bridges... Goes for five first rounders.
But you could have said like that was the anomaly, right? Like, oh well, that was a mistake.
If Rudy Gobert didn't go for five first rounders,
yes, exactly. So all of a sudden, it's when you start stacking these,
yes,
that you say, okay, maybe this isn't just a buffoon franchise making a dumb deal. This is sort of the standard. This is sort of market value for some of these players. And then the point is, how in the world do you evaluate Giannis, who is a unicorn, who is sort of one of one now, and come up with any sort of reasonable trade compensation?
My question is Durant a free agent?
He is going to be traded. He's not a free agent. Okay. He has 1 year this left on his deal.
Because I was worried if he was a free agent or the Suns were going to cut him, somehow packaging a deal to have Giannis and Durant on the same team.
You would have, no, that's just not,
can't happen.
Not possible.
Okay.
With having to make salaries match, it just wouldn't
be
possible.
You can't do it.
Unless the Bucks trade for Giannis. It's about the only way you could do it. Or the Suns trade for Giannis. The Bucks trade for Durant.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. That'd be about the only way. Okay. There's not one team that's going to be able to give two separate packages away. Yeah. And then still be able to pay the money.
Yeah, that's why.
That you have to pay for those two players.
So this is going to sound absolutely fantastical, as in Fantasy Island, but Gabe, give me a package based on what you saw from Desmond Bane's package this weekend. That sounded bad. Let me restate.
Yeah, I don't know about his package.
And you certainly didn't see what you saw.
I just got him.
What you saw him get traded for. Are we talking about... five first-round picks? Six first-round picks? Like, I know, again, I said fantasy land, but, like, based on this standard, if this is the baseline, what would be a realistic, and I'm using that sarcastically, comp for Giannis?
How many other players you got to do to make the salaries
all-stars?
Match?
Pick a couple all-stars. Is it two? And I'm not saying
Yeah, probably
names.
Two all-stars and 10 firsts. Like, if Desmond, like, Giannis is, like, twice as good as Desmond Bane. Like, Desmond Bane's a really nice player.
And he got four firsts?
Four firsts and a pick swap.
Yeah, that ain't happening. Not happening.
And that's why you said they'd have to give up their whole roster.
Yes. Because it's not like football. You're not getting three first picks of the draft. You go into the lottery, and who the hell knows what you're going to get.
So let's do the thing where we check percentages. You've moved, right? You moved a little bit. You went from 60-40 to...
I'm probably 75-25 at this point. Do you know what the highest praise Desmond Bane has gotten? Like, the highest honor he's achieved in the NBA? In terms of, like, individual accolades?
I'm scared to hear.
All-rookie team.
Yeah, he was on the all-rookie team.
There
you go. 21 all-rookie team.
Yeah.
That's it. He's never been an all-star. Hasn't made an all-NBA team. Hasn't made an all-defensive team. He was an all-rookie. He was on the all-rookie team in 2021.
It's a 90-10. Right?
I think that's where I was last week. I said 90-10. You know where I am now? 95-5.
There you go. Yeah.
Hey, huh? I don't know how you put together a package that seems fair based on Desmond Bane now, going for two players, four picks, and a swap.
Very quickly, my husband and I were talking about this when this happened because he said the same thing. He's like, well, Giannis ain't getting traded.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, why doesn't he just come out and say, like, I'm staying? And he goes, yeah, why doesn't he? And while we're at it, Jen, I am not divorcing you. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, that's how stupid that is. Like, he's a member of the Bucks. He's under contract. Everybody wants him to come out and say, I'm staying with the Bucks. But that would be like me saying, Jen, guess what? I'm not divorcing you.
But if there was public speculation about the status of your marriage.
Oh, please, come on. Where have you been?
I think every once in a while it'd be good for you or Dario to clarify said status of the marriage. I'm just saying, when you have that public speculation going on, it's good just to kind of clear the waters, make sure everybody's on the same page.
I thought it was a good point by him of like, Giannis doesn't have to say, I want to be a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. He's doing these things. We talked about him holding up the Bucks jersey when he was in Brazil the other day. We talk about him saying, again, loosely translated, whatever it was, that he wants to win with the Bucks. Like, it does feel like he has sort of said it. Maybe he feels like it's beneath him to have to come out and say, I am a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. I will be a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. I want to compete for championships.
I think both sides laugh at this. Because where was the meeting? The meeting was supposed to happen a month ago.
Which obviously did not happen.
Which did not happen. So they're both like, let the media be the media. We're fine. Right? Because if it was 60-40, the meeting would have already taken place.
Yeah. But if the Bucks could clarify, I think the Bucks would also clarify.
You think they want to?
Oh, I think they'd love to go. Yeah, Giannis is going to be here. I think they'd love to get that story out. But they're not 100% sure of that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right.
Again, I'm willing to bet they feel good, but they don't know for sure. So they can't put that story out. Yeah. It can only come from Giannis.
Okay.
Finding the right home is always a journey, sometimes quick, sometimes patient, but it should always be exciting. The WeSell group at Keller Williams understands that. They're not just about closing deals. They're about building relationships and helping you find the right fit. They are patient, informative, and available throughout the process. Their passion is people. So if you find yourself in a situation where you are looking for a home, ready to move, or just starting to look, or maybe you're thinking about selling your home, the WeSell group is on the journey with you every step of the way. Start your journey today at wesell.kw.com. That's wesell.kw.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Josh said it's garbage.
I'm so glad that Josh is getting a front row seat.
He said it's garbage. It doesn't work.
Chewy.
Am I right or wrong?
We call that a setup in the biz.
On 94.5 ESPN.
There's watching the Brewers, and then there's watching while golfing at X-Golf inside American Family Field. Book a sim bundle for $70 per person, or go big with the sim double play for $50 per person. That includes a game ticket, two premium sims, and seating for your group. Just 22 people minimum. Prices are crazy low. Group options are endless, plus regulars can grab the $100 season membership for 50% off sim time all season long. Book your game day golf at X-Golf inside American Family Field, open to the public 7 days a week.
We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll. Who is the quarterback in the NFC North that has the most to prove? And while we all made a case for different guys in the NFC North, I do want to focus on Jordan Love for a minute, because I think we are all in agreement that he has something to prove, right? We all think that he needs to take that next step in order to elevate the team to the heights that we believe we expect in Green Bay. I am getting some pushback on the Carbless Talk and Text line and on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube stream that it's on Matt LaFleur, that Matt LaFleur has not done enough to elevate Jordan Love. And I got to say, I don't love that sentiment. Do I think that Matt LaFleur can be better? Gabe, I do. But I don't love this sentiment that any of Jordan Love's deficiencies would be because he's not being coached up enough.
I would have a tendency to agree with that, because again, for him, and this is where the injury comes into a factor last year, the footwork just, it got sloppy as the season went along. And again, part of that is probably trying to figure out a way to be efficient with the knee injury he was dealing with, especially earlier in the season. But in order for him, again, it's about tightening those things up. Yeah, can Matt LaFleur work on with those things? Yeah, but ultimately, Jordan Love's the one who has to go out there and execute it. Like, he's got to go out there and, yeah, can Matt LaFleur put him in some better situations? Yes, and I think Matt LaFleur has said as much, trying to get Tucker Kraft more involved and having that outlet and having those guys. But ultimately, yeah, it's not like, oh, all the good stuff's just Jordan and all the bad stuff's on Matt LaFleur. It is a marriage, but ultimately it comes down to Jordan Love executing what Matt LaFleur wants him to do.
Everyone shares blame.
Yeah.
I mean, because you can even go to the receivers coach. Gabe, we watched mm-hmm. not a lot, but we watched some film last year with all 22. Nailed it.
Oh, wow. Not only did you nail it, but then you nailed it.
Yeah. But remember how...
On a Monday.
Remember I would sit there and go, God, look at the receiver's attention to detail. It's terrible. So the receivers coach deserves a little. The receivers obviously do. LaFleur does, but I think LaFleur was caught a kind up in a pivot because he thought someone would emerge out of these receivers, and when they didn't, he's like, we run the ball pretty well. Maybe we should run it a little more. So, but this year, yes, I will be very interested to see personnel groupings in the way he calls a game.
And I'll go one step further. I would like to see more designed rollouts, boots, runs for Jordan Love. Again, injury. Understand that. Moving forward, we have seen some of the more successful quarterbacks in the league be able to make plays with their feet, move the chains with their feet. I would like to see Matt LaFleur design that for Jordan, not just like a scramble where the play is breaking down downfield, but where it's like, we're going to use Jordan in this way to make the team more than one dimensional. Because the passing game, it's going to be good. And again, that will continue to evolve as you add new weapons in as well. But I think in order for Jordan to be what we think he can be, I think because he is athletic, I would like to see Matt LaFleur tap into those sort of designed plays for Jordan.
What I would like to see, and not every down, not every throwing down, but I'd like to see defenses get to a point where they have to spy him sometimes. Not every time, you know.
Did people spy Aaron Rodgers? Because that's the type of athlete he is. He's not Lamar. He's not Kyler Murray. He's not Josh Allen.
But Rodgers would hurt you so bad with his arm.
But that's where you had to commit. But
the type of athlete that Jordan is, he's not one of these guys that's going to go out there and have 600 yards rushing. I don't know if that's, again, if you can find that seam and pick up the 8 yards to pick up the first down to move the chains, yeah, by all means. I don't know if I'm in the camp of, oh, Jordan needs more designed runs.
No, because that's
putting him in harm's way, and the juice isn't worth the squeeze because he's not Lamar, he's not Josh Allen, he's not this next level athlete that's going to be breaking off huge plays running the football.
No, but Aaron, remember we went through that stretch or defenses went through, like, do we leave him in the pocket? Do we blitz him? Mm-hmm. Remember, the big thing is don't blitz him because he's going to torch you. And I'm talking heyday. I'm not talking now.
Yeah.
I just think he needs to put that in his back pocket. Like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Hold their man. 1-2. Don't like it. Let him clear it out a little bit.
Well,
and
that's
then
the
run.
Point. Is yeah. like it's not necessarily the first read,
yes.
but it's through the progressions, yeah. and then he knows that that's the option for him.
Mm-hmm. Which I think he'll do, because it happens around the league. I mean, you see a lot more quarterbacks.
I have a hard time thinking that Matt LaFleur was asking Jordan Love to heave the ball up into triple coverage or to miss crossers or to miss slants. Like, you can help, certainly, your quarterback as a play caller and head coach, but most of Jordan's bad games and mistakes were solely on Jordan. It was him missing throws. It was him making ill-advised throws. It was him making the wrong decisions at the wrong times. Like, it's not that he was bad or I thought he was terrible, but the mistakes that, like, his completion percentage is not Matt LaFleur's fault.
I just think of the panic. Like, that comes to mind for me. Like, when the game is on the line and he has an opportunity to win the game, there were panic moments.
Yes.
And that's where you're like, okay, you have to take that next step in. Mm-hmm. Even when everything is breaking down around you, you're the calm in the storm.
Which is on him and not on anybody else.
Correct. That is a Jordan thing. That is not. There's nothing Matt LaFleur can do to make that process go quicker. The other area, last thing I just want to say is, how can Matt LaFleur maybe be better in the red zone? How is there an area there where he can help Jordan execute? Because he's not there in his head, or, you know, he's not pulling the strings, but is there a way that he can design the offense in those red zone situations that will put the team in a better spot? Too?
Attack.
But
attack.
That's what
we used to do. We used to attack. 15-yard line, attack. And if you don't have it, hey, 4-yard gain's fine.
Maybe I'm wrong in this, June. You can tell me if I am. I look at the red zone of, that's where having those A-type players
yeah.
separates. Like, you could detect, like, you were really yeah. good in the red zone.
Yeah.
Robert, Sterling, sure. you know, free as things went along. The Packers were really good in the red zone with Aaron Rodgers, A, because they had Aaron.
Yeah.
But they also had Davante Adams, who could get open mm-hmm. in those tight spaces because everything just becomes condensed. And Aaron had trust to fit the balls into the tight windows and that Davante was going to be where he needed to be. So I look at the red zone of, hey, this is where your studs have to shine.
Yeah.
And that's where the rest of the team has to continue to grow to be able to help Jordan and the team be as good as they need to be in the red zone.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wrap up the show right after this.
Doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. They've helped me. When I was tired, groggy, just didn't feel like myself, I thought, okay, I'm just getting up earlier, getting older. This is part of the aging process. But it doesn't have to be that way. I found out my testosterone levels are low, and now I work with Mentality. I get I have a customized testosterone treatment plan just for me. And to make sure my levels stay where they're supposed to, I check in with Mentality every 12 to 13 weeks. They are going to help you feel and perform at your very best. So go to lowtusa.com, book an appointment, see if you're dealing with low testosterone. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality, lowtusa.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You want more physical harm beset upon people who are trying to earn a living.
I want winners. If someone has to die in order for us to win, then that's the price you pay.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. For Mental Health Awareness Month, BetterHelp surveyed 16,000 people across 23 countries for its first ever State of Stigma report. Here's what they found. 75% of people believe it is wise to seek support when you're struggling, but only 27% of Americans are actually in therapy. Why the disconnect? When people hesitate to get help, it doesn't just affect them. It affects their families. It affects their workplaces. It affects their entire communities. BetterHelp is trying to change that. They've got over 35,000 therapists. It is the world's largest online therapy platform. They've served more than 5 million people globally, and it is convenient. You join a session with the click of a button, it fits in your busy life, and you can switch therapists at any time if the person you're talking to just isn't clicking for you. We are all better with help. Visit betterhelp.com/timeout to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/timeout for 10% off your first month at BetterHelp. Interesting poll results on the Infinity Exteriors poll, which NFC North quarterback has the most to prove in 2025. This, of course, inspired by the ESPN.com article. If you want to go and read what the reporters for ESPN in the NFC North said about this, what their thoughts are, you can find that on ESPN.com. But guys, we are split here. The results so far have Caleb Williams and Jordan Love tied for first with 42% of the vote each, followed by J.J. McCarthy, followed by Jared Goff. It stands to reason that the people who are voting believe Jared Goff is what he is, at least for now, and that Jordan Love and Caleb Williams have the most to prove in 2025. Surprised?
No. It was my 1-2. So I won.
Chewy, right?
I won Monday.
Well, it's a grade. Give yourself a grade.
Oh, an A. Because people are so used to a C minus.
So you graded yourself on a curve.
Yes, absolutely.
You way overachieved today, did you?
Way. I might take tomorrow off.
Will D and Tash is next on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.